Welcome to the podcast. I'm Steve Engelberg, editor-in-chief at ProPublica, and I'm here today with Ron Fonger, a reporter for the Flint Journal and MLive, who for the past 2 years has been covering the ongoing and exploding story of the Flint, Michigan water system. Welcome, Ron.
Thanks. I appreciate you having me.
Our pleasure. Let's get right into this, because I think this is a story that kind of snuck up on a lot of people. For those who haven't been following it, how do we get into this mess?
You have to go all the way back to early April 2014. There was a decision made by one of a series of emergency managers in Flint to, on a temporary basis, begin getting the city's water supply from the Flint River.
Now, why would they do that?
The city had made a decision to build its own pipeline as one member of a water authority to Lake Huron, which is about 70 miles away from us. For 50-plus years, we had been buying water from Lake Huron from the Detroit water system. Detroit would treat the water. They would send it to us, and all the city of Flint had to do, they didn't have to worry about treating it. They just had to transmit it to people's homes, businesses. So the decision was made in 2013, again, by an emergency manager, that Flint would participate in building its own pipeline. The city of Detroit, once Flint decided it would not sign a new contract to buy water from them, gave them a termination notice, said, we're not going to sell you water under the terms of this old agreement after a year. Now, at that point, something different happened. Genesee County, of which Flint is the county seat, that's the suburbs, they made the decision that they were going to bite the bullet and kind of pay a premium to continue buying water from Detroit on a short-term basis. The city of Flint decided instead to, on a temporary basis, until the pipeline was completed, to pull that water from the river and use that instead.
Now, for those of us who are not from Michigan, tell us a little bit about the Flint River. What kind of river is it?
The Flint River in recent years, you know, kind of has been enjoying a comeback. It's used a lot more for recreational purposes, fishing, canoeing, kayaking, than it had been in the past. But I don't think anyone could have ever made the argument that it was as good a source of water as Lake Huron, which is one of the Great Lakes. It is not a huge river. It is subject to fluctuations when the temperature changes. That creates different opportunities for bacteria and so forth. There's a lot of organic matter in the river. It does run through the heart of an old industrial town. Had that water been treated properly, you know, it has been used for drinking water in the past, and it probably could have been again, but that's not what happened.
Right. They turned the taps on, and pretty quickly, people were complaining.
Almost immediately. I cover the city of Flint, so I would cover city council meetings and so forth, and almost immediately, I had people coming to city council meetings at first, and then town hall meetings and forums about water, and they were bringing in bottles and jugs sometimes of orange or brown tainted water. Not everyone had that experience, but in some parts of the city, there were a lot of complaints about the color of the water, the odor of the water, complaints ranging from it's giving me a rash to it's making my hair fall out, it's burning my skin, that type of a thing. It was all anecdotal in the beginning, but it happened almost immediately.
What did the city, what did the state say to these people?
If I wrote it once, I wrote it 100 times. The city and the state's response was the water is fine. You know, it's tested and it meets all of the health and safety requirements of the law. And they didn't exactly say you people are crazy, but they said there's nothing wrong with the water. That lasted throughout much of 2014. And then at the start of 2015, the city was forced to send out a notice to all the water customers saying that there were high levels of something called total trihalomethanes in the water. People call it TTHM, it's carcinogenic, and it's a byproduct of chlorinating the water.
And also something that happened that I find quite surprising was, I guess in late 2014, the GM engine plant said they couldn't work with the water, right?
Correct. they indicated that the engines had parts and pieces of it that, after having been assembled, they noticed they had evidence of some corrosion in there. And so General Motors took the extraordinary step of connecting to Genesee County's water supply. This particular factory is on the edge of Flint and Flint Township, which is a more suburban community. And they were still getting lake water. And to this day, that's what General Motors uses in that plant.
So to be clear, the city's position was the water is safe to drink, and GM's position is it's too corrosive to work with.
Correct. The only explanation we ever really had for that is you have to understand there are all these intricate parts in these engines, and the level of corrosiveness that's in this water is nothing to worry about for human consumption. It's just that this particular manufacturing process needs a water that's even more pristine than we were producing.
So we come into 2015, and the issue of lead comes up. How does that come to public attention?
There was a professor from Virginia Tech University who is an expert on water. He's at lead in water in particular, named Mark Edwards. He had been contacted by residents here who didn't believe the answers that they were being given. Not that they knew that there was an issue with lead in the water, but they knew what they tasted, they knew what they smelled, and they knew what they saw. And he had been identified as someone who had expertise in water, and they reached out to him, and he agreed to come to Flint and look at the water. He set up a system to sample, with a lot of volunteers in the community, as many homes as he could from the top of the city to the bottom. And he ended up taking more water samples than the city did in its own testing. And in the summer of last year, Edwards posted on his website about what he called a very serious problem with lead in Flint's water supply. And he indicated that his research showed that the water that was coming into people's homes was, I believe it was 19 times more corrosive than the water we were getting from the lake. He went on to explain, and it's become accepted by people in local, state, and federal government, as a matter of fact, at this point, that the corrosiveness of the water was causing lead to leach from the service lines that are leading to a lot of the houses in Flint. And for whatever reason, and it's now acknowledged to have been a huge mistake, the state of Michigan never required the city to treat the river water with phosphates to make it less corrosive. It's as though it was overlooked for whatever reason.
I'm sure your reporting is going to continue to focus on that decision. I read somewhere that we're talking about a treatment that's $100 a day or so.
Yeah, it's a relatively inexpensive, I don't know the number exactly, but just a very insignificant amount of money, especially considering all of the remedies that are being sorted through today.
So that was mid-2015, but yet we really didn't sort of get a sense of urgency on this for many months. I mean, what was the response to the Virginia Tech study?
Skepticism from the state and the city. They stood by their sampling. In fact, their communications director for the Department of Environmental Quality, who has since resigned, called into question Edwards' study, said basically he went from town to town pulling rabbits out of his hat, and we shouldn't be surprised that he claims there's a lead problem in Flint, and that their testing showed that the water had an acceptable level of lead in it, in that it was below the threshold that is in the federal law.
And it now looks, I believe, right, like the testing the city had done, in fact, was kind of cherry-picking, you know, the neighborhoods where this wasn't happening.
Yeah, we reported late last year, based on documents that we had obtained through the Freedom of Information Act, that the city filed false reports with the state. They certified to the state, as a part of complying with the lead and copper rule, that they were testing in homes that were at high risk of elevated lead. In other words, homes that had lead service lines. Now, about half of the homes in Flint have lead service lines, but the city's records are a mess. We, to this very day, if you live in Flint, you probably don't know whether you have a lead service line leading to your house. The city acknowledged their records amounted to, you know, some construction maps and about 45,000 index cards where the service line data was stored on. When the city tested Flint's water for lead in 2015, they certified to the state that they were testing homes with lead service lines. We, through FOIA, went back and requested the service line information that the city had for each of the 168, I believe it was, homes that they tested. And we found out that only a very small number, much less than half, did they have any type of data to support that they were testing in areas that had lead service lines. So that kind of cast large doubt on their sampling results, which they kept saying showed there wasn't a problem.
Well, taking a step back from this very, you know, useful sort of summary of the timeline, how in the world could this happen? I mean, this is the water that everybody in the city of Flint drinks. It just seems almost incomprehensible that we could go this many months providing to citizens a substance that we know is very, very damaging, particularly to children, particularly to older people. How in the world could this happen?
Yeah, everyone is asking themselves that now. I interviewed a representative of the EPA who was one of the first people to identify the extent of the lead problem here, and that was halfway through last year. And he had no explanation for it. But as this problem increasingly became recognized within these agencies of government, the US EPA in Region 5 and the Department of Environmental Quality and City Hall in Flint, it's almost like a great debate broke out internally, but everyone else was left out of it. The state was arguing, according to the EPA, whether or not they were required to treat the water with phosphates or whether they were allowed under the law, the way it's written, to wait for 12 months before they started treating the water with phosphates. The state of Michigan wanted a legal opinion from a US EPA interpreting the lead and copper rule that they were supposed to do sampling in a certain way. You had these agencies of government involved in this kind of tug of war about who was going to be responsible to do what and who was going to push who to do what. And I don't know how else to explain it based on what I know so far. It just, the whole thing bogged down, and a lot of the information that was being discussed internally never got out to people until after the fact.
Well, you know, there's been some commentary and some people who said, look, this is a predominantly poor, predominantly minority community. If this had been a suburb, it would have been handled differently. As someone who's been covering Flint for, you know, 20 years, do you feel there's something to that?
Yeah. When people say that, I can't help but recognize that there's something to that. This is a community, the city of Flint, which is we are an old, great industrial town. This is where the sit-down strike in Flint, what is the modern-day union movement, the UAW, was born here. The city has taken a lot of hard knocks in the past 40 years. We've lost a lot of employment. Our crime is high. A lot of people who had the means to leave Flint did so. Our population has fallen from 200,000 to about 100,000. And with all of those things happening, this is a community that has a lot of problems and a lot of poor people here. If you think about this happening in a more affluent area, I don't think people would have stood for it. I think the population generally would have been already more mobilized and more politically connected to be able to demand that this get addressed.
So we've had some emails released from the governor's office which seem to suggest that this was taken as a political football or the complaints of the anti-everything crowd. How are people taking that in Flint?
I myself went through all of those emails, and I was kind of underwhelmed by what we saw. There wasn't much that had not already been reported. We have a story today that's talking about the fact that maybe not all of these emails were released. So the emails kind of go back to the governor's contention that things got bogged down by the civil servants at DEQ, that there were warnings from people who were professional and know about drinking water, that there was something wrong, and the bottom line problem didn't get addressed. The agencies were more worried about technically complying with the law and what they had to do versus identifying a problem and getting it fixed.
Ron, last question. As you're there now, what's the situation? Are people able to use the water? Are they still having to have bottled water? How's it going?
We have gone through I don't know how many bottles of water. It comes in by the semi-truck load. The most recent advisories we have from the city, state, and the federal government is that no one should be drinking the water unless it has gone through a lead clearing filter. Otherwise, people are being advised that the water is fine to bathe in, but it is still not clear to drink. And testing is going on in various parts of the city. The federal government announced either yesterday or today that it was going to take over the testing program in Flint. That's where we're at. People are still using the water for, as I say, bathing and some elementary stuff like that. But unless you've got a faucet filter that takes the lead out of the water, you are advised not to drink it.
And how long is that likely to go on for?
We don't know. The EPA official from Region 5 that I talked to last night said we can't put a timeline on it. We don't have enough data collected yet, good data that we can trust. And his professional opinion was the water is most likely hot. That's the way he described it, because of the damage that was done to the pipes by the corrosive water. We switched back. The governor, the city, and the Mott Foundation in Flint paid millions of dollars to reconnect the city to Detroit water again in October. So we've had a few months of water going through the system. That water is being boosted up by additional amounts of phosphates. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to rebuild the coating that's inside the water transmission pipes so that the lead that is a part of the pipe doesn't flake off and into the water.
Well, Ron Fonger, thank you very much for your time and for that explanation. I have a feeling we haven't heard the last of this story.
I think you're right, and thank you for taking interest in Flint and what's going on here.